All right, let's get the road on the show, as they say. Show on the road. Whatever. Make like a baby and head out. Make like a tree and leaf. All right. And yeah, hang on a second. Let me get that. Do that too. Turn out, yeah, you can turn out all the lights. I sit here in the dark and talk to myself.
You can scream and shout with all your might.
Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, and moan. You can shove your opinion up your ass. That way Obama's cock has something to keep it company.
Either you are wrong or I am right.
Well, you know what might be happening? Could be both of them. You could be wrong and I could be right. Welcome, my friends, to another episode of Stating the Obvious Podcast, the weapons platform from which I launched the cruise missile of my intellect, homes in on and destroys dumbass motherfuckers around the world. Statists of all shapes and sizes are annihilated by the 50 caliber machine gun that we fire at them. I am the Great One himself, founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. In the control room, the lovely and adorable Randy. She's hanging out over there, looking cute. If you want to send us an email, you can do that. You can send us an email. You can tell us how much you love it, how much you hate it. You can send us naked pictures of you, naked pictures of your ex-girlfriend, naked pictures of your ex-boyfriend, naked pictures of your current girlfriend if you want. You send anything you fucking want to send, man, because that's how the shit works. It's email. You can send whatever the fuck you want to send us. Where you send that? You send that to God. It's dog spelled backwards. G-O-D. God. At C-Y-N-L-I-B-S-O-C.com. And of course, you can find us on the interwebs. C-Y-N-L-I-B-S-O-C.com. On the interwebs, which is powered by cats. And on the Twitterverse. C-Y-N-L-I-B-S-O-C. Cynical Libertarian Society. So, hey, what's up, guys? We're recording a little bit late today. I had some meetings with clients I had to go to. Randy had other shit to do. I'm feeling pretty mellow. And instead of ranting about something, because I know I'm in the middle of, I think I'm in the middle of ranting about some E. Jean questions, you know, upper middle class white women, first world problems and stuff. But I want to sit here in the dark, illuminated only by the computer screens, and just talk a little bit today, well, for 52 minutes, about some stuff, just stuff. I just want to chat with you guys. Because I rant a lot, and especially I rant a lot about girls lately. It's been my thing, ranting about chicks lately. And it's time to talk a little bit more, not, and as I've said before, I love making fun of the state. I love criticizing the state. I love pointing at statist and femistatist and saying what is wrong. Today, I want to talk about self-improvement. Because it's easy to criticize others, and it's easy to see the flaws in others, right? It is. You know it is. I know it is. You know it is. We do it all the time. But we, as there went my tongue. That's what she said. As anarcho-capitalist, there are things that separate us from the statist. Our adherence to the non-aggression principle, our willingness to defend ourselves when the non-aggression principle is violated against us or against other anarcho-capitalists. And of course, our respect for property rights. And so those are the foundations. But beyond that, one of the things that I think has to occur within an individual in order for any of us who are ANCAPs to be superior to the statist is that ultimately we have to make things happen. I feel like this should be like the third element, like the fifth element, right? If it was the fifth element, we'd have this hot chick in this skimpy costume running around doing hot stuff. But it's not the fifth element. It's the third element. When we look at anarcho-capitalism, we see the first element is the non-aggression principle. As Michael W. Dean likes to say, the non-aggression principle 2.0, which I hate the whole fucking 2.0 shit. I need to come up with another way of saying that. Nobody will know what I'm talking about. For those of you, the non-aggression principle 2.0, as he calls it, maybe I should call it the non-aggression principle improved. Or I prefer, actually, I like zero aggression principle because it abbreviates to ZAP. Zero aggression with retaliation. I don't know. The ZAP, the zero aggression principle, remember, is the first element, right? It says you will not initiate aggression against other people, nor will you allow aggression to be initiated against you. That's, boom, first column. The first element of anarcho-capitalism. For those of you already ANCAPs, I know I'm boring the shit out of you. I'm sorry. Just hang with me. The second element, of course, is respect for property rights. You respect the property rights of other people. Other people respect your property rights. So those are the two critical things. If you do those two things, you are an anarcho-capitalist. If you don't do those things, you're not an anarcho-capitalist. I think there should be a third element. I just can't decide if it's earth, wind, or fire. Great band, by the way. No. That third element should be how would I phrase it? I'm trying to think what the phrasing should be. I have no show notes, which is not unusual, but I mean, I have nothing. I'm sitting here. All of this is train of thought, just so you know. This is me delaying while I try to think. It really is. All this entire episode is going to be train of thought. I have nothing prepared. I just want to talk about some stuff. It's like a fireside chat, except I'm not a statist who wants to make war on other countries. The third element should be a hot chick in skimpy clothing. No, the third element, actually it should. It really fucking should. The third to be an anarcho-capitalist, you have to adhere to the ZAP, you have to respect property rights, and you have to have a hot chick who's scantily clad. Those three things. The third element of being an anarcho-capitalist is a constant, not constant as in 24 hours a day, but continuous over your life, a continuous effort put forth to create both outside of yourself and inside of yourself. The creation of betterment of ourselves. And when you look at statist, you'll see the things I'm talking about aren't there. Or they're there, but in this false way. Right? Statists want to, they say they want to improve the world, but they want to improve the world by making more laws, by putting more people in prison, by creating more regulations, by forcing more people to do things. And of course, it's understandable when you keep in mind that most of what they're pushing is things that nobody wants. Again, it's Obamacare, right? If Obamacare is so great, why do you have to force people to buy it? You don't have to force people to buy cigarettes. They're not good for you, but people like them. You don't have to force people to buy alcohol. Same thing. You don't have to force people to have sex. You don't have to force people to eat food. And I talked about this briefly. I think it was in a prior Anarchy Moment with the flaw. And we don't like to say there's a flaw, but there's always a flaw. And the flaw is people. Because we as people are imperfect. And I think this is something we as anarcho-capitalists inherently recognize, right? This is why we're opposed to the state. Because when you have the state, you have imperfect people in positions of power who can then force other people to do what they want. And so when the imperfect person, and we're all imperfect, so it's a redundancy to say imperfect person because there is no perfect person. When people in places of power force other people to do things, force laws upon others, force regulations upon others, all this other stuff, you create large amounts of injustice and misery and suffering and all this other horse shit. As anarcho-capitalists, we talk about how the market will solve this problem because the market will provide people with what they want, right? Ben Stone, the feminist, likes to talk about how when there is a market demand for freedom, we'll get freedom. And as I've pointed out, there's never going to be a market demand for freedom because the statists are the 99%, and the statists are going to continue to be the 99% for a very long time, for at least 100 years. Right? There will be no freedom in our lifetime, not here, in this dimension, on this planet. And so the flaw in the market is that the market reflects the desires and the wants of people. But if the majority of, the market reflects the desires and the wants of people both individually and as a group. And so while in a market, individuals can make good decisions. There will be a lot of decisions that are poorly made because you've got this 99% who have their heads shoved firmly up their ass. And of course, this is what's interesting because statists will always make this argument. Well, there are things the market can't do. There are things the market won't do. In a practical sense, now in a theoretical sense, that's not true, but in a practical sense, it is. Because, of course, because the market reflects what the people want, there are things the market isn't going to do and can't do because the people don't want those things. The people don't want those things, especially if they have to pay for them. Right? The TSA would never exist in a free market situation. Can you imagine if you had to pay extra money to the airport when you bought a ticket so that somebody could touch your ball sack with their hands? But of course, people don't want the TSA when their ball sack is being touched, but they do want the TSA when other people's ball sacks are being touched, because in that case, the people whose ball sacks are not getting touched are getting a sense of security from this. So the state provides something that the free market, of course, would not provide. So the market can provide that which is good and righteous and just and all those other buzz phrases, I think. The problem is the market cannot do that with the current population we have right now. Because the current population we have is thoroughly statist all the way through and through. Public education, the colleges, society as a whole, you know, this entire idea of how, look at how ingrained the idea of wealth redistribution is in our society. Remember before Obamacare happened, and I was talking about how Obamacare is just the redistribution of wealth. Obamacare is taking money from healthy people, giving it to sick people. It's taking money from rich people, giving it to poor people. It's taking money from people that have jobs, giving it to people who don't have jobs. And of course, people were called me names and racist and all this other shit. And then there's that newspaper article I got, which actually my mother sent to me, the statist commie bitch that she is. And it had this interview with some moron from the Brookings Institute. I swear to God, I still have that somewhere because it was so classic. It's one of those things that I'm not going to throw away. I should frame it and put it on the wall, right? Where these people said, look, Obamacare is redistributing wealth. And look how wonderful this is. And in this article, this moron from the Brookings Institute is praising Obamacare for redistributing wealth. Which is exactly what I said it was going to do. So the redistribution of wealth is blindly accepted as being a good thing. Which is all the more interesting when you look at the fact that the creation of wealth is looked down upon. Here's another one that falls into that same category, and I know I have an open thought. I'm coming back to that. I really am. The femistatist, I mean, their new buzz phrase, and it is that, it has become literally a buzz phrase. I'm so sick of seeing it, is that women are strong and independent. As I asked in the previous edition of Stating the Obvious, if women are so strong and independent, why do they keep getting raped? And I should, again, let me clarify that there's a difference between the femistatist and women as a gender. So, you know, not all women buy into femistatism. Many of them do. I don't know a percentage. A lot of them do. But not all women are femistatist. There are some good women out there. I'm still working on finding some, but there's a couple out there. I know a couple of them. There's some good ones out there. But this whole buzz phrase of women are strong and independent, and so they're supposed to be praised for being so strong and independent. And yet, think, what does that mean when they say a woman is strong and independent? I mean, we know what it means. It means that they're on welfare, they're on food stamps, they're getting child support, they're getting alimony, they're getting tax benefits, they have quotas thanks to their gender that help them get jobs and get into college and all this other stuff. We know that. But from their perspective, what exactly does it mean when a femistatist says women are strong and independent? I mean, what does that mean? That women are somehow self-reliant? That they're capable of achieving things on their own? Is that what I'm asking? This is a question. Is that what that's supposed to mean? And I think this is important to think about, because what is one of the biggest criticisms continuously lobbed at anarcho-capitalist. That we believe in individualism. That we think people can achieve things on their own. We're so stupid, we just don't understand that it takes a village. Nobody can do anything on their own. That business you have, you didn't make that. You couldn't do what you're doing if it weren't for the help of the government. Which is in fact not true, because those of us who are anarcho-capitalist, we fully recognize, and this is one of the places where there is an alignment between the beliefs of Buddhist and the beliefs of anarcho-capitalist. The two religions that I think are the most anarcho-capitalist are, of course, Buddhism, which I've talked about a lot in the past, and Satanism, which I've talked about a lot in the past. And I really want to do another series where I read from the Satanic Bible and talk about it, because there's a lot of good stuff in there. And there's also criticisms. I've actually done many podcasts in the past talking about the Satanic Bible and Satanism. And those are all before I was a full-fledged anarcho-capitalist. So I really want to go back and revisit that again and look at that and talk about those things. But the Buddhist recognize that everything is interconnected. We're all interdependent. And of course, I've talked about this extensively. Aristotle also comes into this when Aristotle talked about the polis and how the goal of a man was to be self-sufficient, but you can only be self-sufficient within the context of the polis. The polis, for those of you not in the know. So essentially he means the city-state, or we could call it a community. The Buddhist says, when you made your breakfast this morning, did you make your breakfast? Well, no, of course you didn't make your breakfast. Hundreds, if not thousands of people made your breakfast, because you cooked your breakfast on a stove that was made by other people. It ran on electricity or gas, natural gas, which was delivered by other people. You used a frying pan, which was made by other people. It was driven across the country by other people. It was sold to you by other people. The egg that you cooked came out of a chicken, which was raised by another person, transported by another person, sold in a store by another person. The ham came from the bacon. The bacon came from a pig that was raised by another person, butchered by another person, packed by another person, transferred. So all of these people came together and gave you breakfast. Now, the market is what enabled this to happen. But still, these people had to exist, and they have to be interconnected with each other. Now, the mechanism that interconnects them is the market. When anarcho-capitalists talk about the market, they are, by definition, talking about the interconnectedness of a large group of people. And so when fuckheaded statists, who, let's be honest, should be exterminated, right? If evolution were not being circumvented by the state, statist would be dead, natural selection. When a dumb fucking statist says that anarcho-capitalists believe in rugged individualism and that they can do everything by themselves, nothing could be further from the fucking truth. And yet these same fucking statists say shit like women are strong and independent. Wait, I thought strength and independence was something to be scorned. How are these women independent? These women are more dependent than anyone. But of course, these women, not all women, these women, the femistatist women who describe themselves as strong and independent, are even more dependent because, unlike the anarcho-capitalist, they do not create anything and put it back into the system. They do not feed back into the market. The anarcho-capitalist recognizes, God, I'm fucking brilliant right now. This is going somewhere really good. If you're doing anything while listening to this podcast, you need to stop and just really listen to the fucking brilliance that is about to come at you, because this is good. This is really good. The anarcho-capitalist recognizes the interconnectedness of everything. Right? It's like Aristotle said in the Politics, the goal of a man is to be self-sufficient, but he can only be self-sufficient in the context of the polis. You can only be self-sufficient, say, for example, making shoes, within the context of a market where people will buy your shoes and exchange things of value that then you can use to buy food, so that other people can make food, and other people can make furniture, and other people can make electricity. And so all of you together allow each of you to be independent within the context of the society, within the context of the polis. And the mechanism that makes this work is the free market. The market. There's no, if it's not free, it's not a market. We as anarcho-capitalists, we recognize this. And this is why the third element, see, I told you I didn't forget about this. You're like, yeah, motherfucker's just rambling. He has no idea what the fuck he's talking about. The market requires, if you are going to participate in the market, if you are going to be independent, the market requires that you contribute something to it. Because in the market, to get something from other people, to be interdependent with other people, requires that you receive from them, but it also requires you contribute to them. There is no one-way market. The market is, by its nature, by its definition, two ways. Each person involved must be exchanging something of value. And it is only through being able to exchange value with other people via the market within the polis that you can achieve independence. And so when we hear from these femistatists that femistatist women are strong and independent, well, they're not strong and they're not independent because they're parasites. They're only receiving from the market. They're not contributing to the market. Oh, they may have a job in the HR department, or they may have a job as some kind of fucking social worker or something like that, but they're not contributing things that anybody wants. They're parasites. A critical element of being an anarcho-capitalist is participation in the market. Maybe that's the way I phrase it. Because participation in the market, by definition, requires you to contribute. And to contribute to the market requires that you create something. And that is, along with the ZAP and along with property rights, that is, I believe, the distinguishing mark of the anarcho-capitalist. Is that we as ANCAPs create. Now, to create, you have to do two things. You have to work on the outside world, and you have to work on the inside world. In order to create, you have to work on self-improvement. You have to do things such as physical exercise. You have to build a healthy body for yourself, a healthy and strong body. You have to eat good, nutritious food. As I always say, if it comes in a box, it's not food. It's just chemicals, which everything is chemicals. I said, saw some meme or something the other day somewhere, someplace, I don't remember, where, you know, the point was somebody said, well, when someone tells you to eat food that's chemical-free, they don't know what the fuck they're talking about because water is a chemical. Everything is a chemical. That is absolutely true. Yes, technically speaking, scientifically speaking, accurately speaking, yes, everything's a fucking chemical. That is true. So we could say, eat things that are preservative-free. Don't have sucrose, corn syrup, fructose corn syrup. Eat nutritious food. Exercise. Meditate. Self-improvement. Read books. Read books for entertainment. Read books for education. Push your limits. Talk to strangers. Do things you haven't done before. I mean, that's a big part of why I do this podcast. As I've said before, I do this podcast entirely for myself. If people listen to it, and if people have commentary about it, and if people want to have discussions about it and ask me questions, that's great. I love all that. But ultimately, I am doing this right now. I'm sitting here in this dark room with Randy's over there. I think she's fallen asleep, which is fine because all the lights are off. I'm sitting here in this dark room talking to this microphone about these thoughts because this is part of my self-improvement process. When I have to sit down and articulate things like this and think them out and say them out loud and attempt to explain them to the listener and have them make sense, I have to go through this process of formulating these thoughts and searching for contradictions within the theses I put forth. And then if there are contradictions, reconciling the contradictions, you know, determining is it really a contradiction or not? If it is a contradiction, how can I make those work together? What's the grand unified theory of anarcho-capitalism? So this entire podcast is an exercise for me in self-improvement. And of course, speaking. I'm trying to speak well. In the past, certainly I've talked about Toastmasters and how in speaking this podcast, how I don't edit it, how I seek to speak clearly and enunciate well and explain myself well, just like I would do in a real-life conversation without doing things like and all this other shit. So this entire process, or saying filler words like so right there, that was unnecessary. And see, this is the thing, having that self-awareness to notice I said so as a filler word, and see actually was a filler word on the previous sentence. So this whole podcast, there I went again, so, this whole podcast is an exercise for me in self-improvement. It's a way of improving my thought process. It's a way of improving my speech. It's a way of having a conversation with myself in order to iron out what my approach to the world should be, what my philosophy on the world around me should be, and how can I make sense of that. And how can I live that, and how can I apply that? So that type of, there's another so, filler word, that type of creation, that's the inner creation. That is the creation of self-improvement, the creation of becoming a better person. The typical statist does not have that. A statist, in my opinion, by definition, cannot have that, because you cannot embark down a path of continual self-improvement and be a statist. I don't think the two things can go together. To an extent, they can. You can be a statist and go to the gym and lift weights. And you can be a statist and read a bunch of books and get a college education. You can be a statist and you can read philosophy. But if you are a statist and you do all of these things, if you cultivate the healthy mind and the healthy body and the healthy psyche and the healthy understanding of philosophy, and if you keep cultivating all of this, eventually you're going to come to a point where you're going to run up against the fact that being a statist negates all of the self-worth and the self-value, and it negates the market, it negates free interactions between people. And you cannot continue to cultivate self-awareness while ignoring these facts. Because if you're ignoring the fact that the state destroys freedom, the state destroys wealth. Think about all the wealth that has been destroyed in wars. Think about all the wealth being destroyed in the war on drugs and the war in Afghanistan and all of this stuff, all the wealth being destroyed by in the prisons and all the wealth being destroyed by the regulations. You reach a point where you can't look at that stuff and dismiss it if you actually continue to grow. And of course, this is the other thing which I find so hilarious that's lobbed against those of us who are anarcho-capitalist, is that we're just childish and immature. And when we grow up, we'll get out of it. We'll get over our belief in not killing people and not stealing from people when we just finally grow up. Which again is hilarious, just as the femistate is saying that, well, women are strong and independent, when in fact they're not strong and independent, and when in fact strength and independence are qualities and status that they mock. It's the same thing here. The statists, who are in fact incredibly immature, because they are essentially children waiting for their parents, aka the government, to give them free stuff. You've got these incredibly immature people. Emotionally immature people. People are just stunted emotionally. Calling anarcho-capitalists who are willing to take responsibility for their actions immature. The next aspect, God, this is fucking brilliant. So I know I'm fucking talking about myself like I'm amazing, but this is why I am the fucking great one himself. I just hope I can remember some of this shit to write down for the show notes. This is fucking golden stuff here. I'm good. So the next element of creation, now that you're working on yourself, you have to create and give to the outside world. And this is the part of the market where, to be independent, you have to be interdependent. This is where, in order to receive from the market, You have to give to the market. You have to, I've talked about this ad nauseum, you have to create value for other people. And value doesn't just fucking appear out of nowhere. This is why I like using the word create. You have to create value for other people. The way you create the value is by taking something in your environment, some need that people have. You combine something from your environment with a need that people have with your inherent skills and abilities, and you create something that was not there before, which somebody else values. And that's why the self-improvement process, the self-creation, has to come first. As you improve, as your skills improve, as your abilities improve, as your health improves, as your attitude improves, as you become better, you become better able to take what is around you, other people's needs, and your environment, and shape your environment to fill their needs, to create value for them, for which they give you value in return. And why do the statist have so much hatred for people who can create value for others? I think a big chunk of it is because the average statist knows he can't create value for other people. The average, the welfare recipients, they're not creating value for anyone, and they know it. The bitches in the HR department, those cunts are not creating value for anyone, and they know it. Politicians not creating value, and they fucking know it. Statists are not creating value for other people, and they know this. And when they see people who do create value, they have a hatred for those people. They, of course, also have a need for those people, as I've discussed before. If you had a society in which everyone was a parasite, it wouldn't last very long, right? You can't have a society where everybody is a welfare recipient who gets food stamps. Because somebody has to generate the excess wealth that can then be redistributed. So while the statist hate those who create with such a fucking passion, at the same time, they cannot survive without us. And they know it. They know it. Because if they could survive without us, they would just make it illegal. And they would. I mean, what does statists do when they don't like something? They make it illegal. Here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, we have a bunch of statists who don't like people smoking cigarettes. They've made it illegal to smoke cigarettes outside on the fucking trails. If the statist could, they would make it illegal for people to have more than a certain amount of money. But they know good and goddamn well they need rich people to fleece. They need rich people to create wealth that can then be taken away from those rich people and given to other people as political bribery. This is what, it's this thing. See, this is the thing I feel like is always left out when you hear discussions about anarcho-capitalism. They talk about the zero aggression principle, yeah, and they talk about property rights, yeah, and they talk about the market, but it's just sort of thrown out there, something, but the market, without any of this explanation, without any of the understanding that the market can only be as smart as the people within the market. And as long as the state circumvents natural selection and allows people who should be dead to continue living and allows those people to reproduce, the market is going to be retarded in its ability to develop correctly and to respond to the needs of people. And the market requires that people create and contribute to it. And people contributing to the market, creating things for the market, creating value for other people, requires that people create improvement within themselves first. I think you're going to be hard pressed to find for me an example of somebody who creates value in the market for other people who has not first created value, self-improvement, or you could say improvement. And why I'm saying self-improvement, it's redundant in this context. Someone who has created improvement within them, somebody must create improvement within themselves before they can create value for other people. You must create value for yourself before you create value for other people. This goes back to the Ayn Rand thing. The needs of the producer must come before the needs of the consumer. If you don't create value within yourself, you cannot create value external to yourself, which can then be exchanged with another person for value that person has created by first creating value within himself. And this whole dynamic of how the market functions is left out of anarcho-capitalist discussions. It's just, well, there's the market. Yeah, it's the market, and it's going to do everything perfectly. But it's not. I've thought about this. It's not going to do everything perfectly when it is filled with parasites. The market cannot function when it's filled with intellectually and emotionally stunted parasites. The market will work, but only in an environment where everybody within the market is interdependent and where they are therefore independent. Because, as I said, independence comes from being able to create value for other people that you can exchange for value. Independence comes from interdependence. I know it's hard for you to wrap your tiny little statist brain around. I know you're thinking about what the balance on your food stamp card is right now. But you should be dead if you don't understand what I'm saying. If this makes no sense to you, like completely bad, like if you're thinking about this and you're like, well, yeah, that mostly makes sense, but I really need to think about it a little bit before I'm 100% sure, that's kind of okay. But if you're listening to this right now and you think I am just completely full of shit, I have no idea what I'm talking about, and it's impossible to be interdependent and independent at the same time, then you are the person that evolution should have removed from the motherfucking planet. But you're here because of the state. The three elements: anarcho-capitalism, zero aggression principle, do not initiate aggression, do not accept the initiation of aggression. Second principle is respect the property rights of other people. The third principle, the third element, we don't want any principles, it reminds me of high school. Third element is independence via interdependence, via creation. Because the ultimate goal is independence. the only way to be independent is to be interdependent, and the only way to be interdependent is to create externally, and the only way to create externally is to create internally. I'm going to be honest with you. I think that's pretty fucking brilliant. I think this is one of the most solid fucking thoughts I've ever had on this topic. You think I'm wrong? Great. Fucking explain why I'm wrong. I think this is critical. I think this is critical fucking understanding. I'm pretty goddamn amazed at how brilliant I am. That's the fucking truth, man. Randy, wake up in there. This doesn't happen very often. I have a minute and a half left to go before we would normally play the music. I have a fucking thing to say. I can't follow that. I really can't. That's how good I feel about this cast and about what I just said. I have nothing to fucking follow that.